Many Hands Make Light Work is the title of a film that Ulu Ulu, the Digital Moving Pictures Archives, is showcasing at the upcoming Hawaii International Film Festival. The screening will include a forum with two of the surviving weavers. A third weaver, Frances Williamson, is in her 80s, and she couldn't make the trip, or she can't make the trip, next month, but she spoke with us by phone. She's one of a cadre of weavers hired by artist Ruth Adele Anderson, who the state awarded the contract to create two 40-foot tapestries to hang in the chambers of the House and Senate. It would take a couple of years to complete and stands as an outstanding art piece as part of the state's Art in Public Places program.
And so I took my one piece of weaving and I went to Ruth Adele and said, "What do you think?" And she said, "You're on." And I went to work for 50 cents an hour.
So how many people were involved in creating this?
Well, five weavers mostly did the weaving. There were, because you can't, there are inconsistencies from one weaver to another. The fewer you have working on a project, the better. And we did nothing but commissions for public buildings, so that there were other jobs that needed doing at the same time. And there were about, I think we had 16 or so people in the studio altogether, because as you know, the walls on both of those chambers curve, and you probably, if you think, stop and think about it, weaving or woven things or fabric things don't come curved, they come flat, and so you have to make allowances on how you're going to deal with that curvature. And so we had a fellow who did metal work, and he made extruded aluminum mesh pieces that were exactly the same piece as the weaving, and the shape of the pieces was arrived at by having the wall surveyed so that you could have two parallel lines, and before the round the room curvature took over, you could stop it, and then you could just alter the fact, make the top and the bottom not parallel. You can't, looms are set up to do two even sides that are straight. That's the way fabric comes off of almost every loom there is. And so we had to work with, we had to work our way around the room, literally, accounting for that curve. Now, there are 44 pieces, separate pieces, in each of the murals that are not attached at all to each other anywhere. They're attached, fellows put up the scaffolding and Mark measured out the wall, and they put furring strips on the wall, and the pieces are attached to those.
Interesting.
But they butt up against each other, and all of it is pretty much, most of it is knotted. It's the same knot that you use to make rugs with. And when you butt two pieces up together, because it's knotted, it can fall over. So we had to go up and go run a finger or some sort of most of us, we just used our finger to run up and down where the pieces abut against each other so that nothing got squinched up down in the seam, because they weren't attached. They were being just put up there together. So that they touched, but they weren't attached to each other.
So was it particularly tricky? Was one, more difficult than the other?
No. The designs that I made, that was my first job, was to take my slide rule and the figures that the surveyors had and got the angles that would be inside the weaving, so that we had parallel sides and non-parallel tops and bottoms, and figure out the sine of the angle of the opposite over the adjacent and all that. And you use your geometry and create these pieces so that you can weave them off. Only the outer side of each mural has a shaped edge because it is smaller at the top than it is at the bottom. It has a slight shape to it, and so those outer pieces are not exactly, they don't have parallel sides on up and down, but all the other pieces do. And I made a scale model, a foot to an inch, or an inch to a foot, and Bruce Adell, I made paper model for her, and she was doing the final color combinations, because each of the they're called butterflies, which is it's a hand bobbin is what it is. You make a hand bobbin with your yarn and pull, so that you pull on it and it comes out, comes apart. And she had three different colors in each butterfly, and so they had all this yarn, 700 pounds of yarn that was hand dyed for each, or specifically dyed for each piece. And she hadn't decided on what if you use a lighter blue here instead of a darker blue, and that, you know, how, what the nuances were. And that's what she used the scale models for, to select exactly which one of the yarns she would put together with the others.
What was maybe one of your favorite memories during that whole process? I mean, how long did it take? And
it took a year to do each one. There's a lot of work. We worked 6 days a week. We did have other commissions, but nothing anywhere near the size of that. The next large thing that we did were the pieces that are in the Prince Cahuilla Federal Building.
And this particular artwork, or these two pieces of artwork, gosh, I mean, I don't know the story behind them. Did they have names or themes or?
No, Ruth Adell, people kept asking her that. And what happened was the colors were predetermined because the carpeting was already on the floor. And they had selected earth colors for the House and water colors for the Senate. So she knew that it would have to go with, the carpeting wasn't going to be changed. She had to accommodate what those colors were and work with that as the starting point for her design. And people would say, well, doesn't that look like a Hawaiian cape? And she would say, well, not exactly. You know, you don't want to say, not to me. So she really didn't have anything but creating an abstract design that was pleasant to look at and pleasing to the eye and blended well with the carpeting and fit into the room. And then the one with the ocean colors, well, it was the same thing. She didn't want to have the design be the same with just different colors either. I mean, she wanted each one to be individual.
And what was your, I guess, fondest memory?
Ruth Adell was a very good cook, an excellent cook. We always had a birthday celebration for each person as the birthdays came along throughout the year. We would have things like marinated mushrooms. And, you know, Ruth Adell must have gone home for a week and every night and just cooked until it was time to go to bed. And Webb would come up here at noontime with everything in the car. And Eve Marie Judd would make her chocolate birthday cake, which is chocolate, a real yummy chocolate cake with yummy chocolate frosting. We worked very hard, actually. It was hard work, physical work, but it was such a pleasure to know that we were doing something that would become part of Hawaii forever, or as long as it would last. And every Saturday, Ruth Adell loved opera. Every Saturday, we listened to the Texaco opera. And a lot of us were not... I'd been to operas, but I'd never really fallen in love with the art form. And we listened to opera every Saturday, so we got our education right along with it. Our music appreciation time came no matter what.
Do you have a favorite opera tune or one that sticks in your mind?
No, I don't. No, but you'd think that we might have had, after two whole years of listening to what Texaco was putting on, we all went to our task trying not to talk too much, so we didn't want to disturb the opera.
Okay. So. That sounds like a wonderful memory, though.
It is, yeah. It was... We all got along very well together, and it was fun to work with people who were having fun doing what they were doing.
And I understand that mainly it was women, but there was one man?
Yes, Charlie. One of the other people that worked for us was Margaret Donnell, and her dad was in city planning at the university. And Kyrie Tata Ishii, her husband was one of the first entrepreneurs from Japan when they began being very interested in Hawaii property.
Gosh, anything else you want to share? I'm sure you must have been so proud once this was finished.
Oh, my. It was quite something. And as I say, I just hope that more people will realize that these things are there. And the pieces that we did for the federal building are in the judicial section. The pieces are great. They hang in a mezzanine, and some of them are two stories tall. It was in 1995, I think, that they just about took the Capitol down to the rock bottom because they discovered asbestos. And, of course, it all had to be removed. So those pieces came down lock, stock, and barrel, the whole show, House and Senate. And they hired Ruth Adele. She had them build a kind of a rack that would hold the pieces. She vacuumed them. That's all it takes. You know, they wanted to know, how do we clean these? And she said, you get a vacuum cleaner. You know, it's the real secret. So she cleaned them up and checked the back to make sure everything was staying in position where it had been sewn. Also, the pieces that go over the loudspeakers, which are in the middle of each piece, that have to be removable for maintenance and or repair, they have approved acoustical material behind the wire, the mesh that actually covers the speakers.
What is it about weaving that you love?
I guess you start with so little and you end up with something so exciting quite often. You know, you start out with just thread, and you put it on the loom, and it's just threads going up and down. And then you start with the threads that go across, and you add color and shape and design, and then all of a sudden they aren't just threads.
Yeah, well, you have two wonderful woven pieces that are pieces of art.
Well, it was great fun to do.
You've been listening to Weaver Frances Williamson, the documentary about the Capitol Weavers presented by Uluulu. The West Oahu Digital Archives is set to be screened November 10th at 4 p.m. at Regal Dole Cannery Theaters at the Hawaii International Film Festival. So mark your calendars.